Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This is Thanksgiving Day. I hope you're having a great Thanksgiving Day and are blessed of the Lord. Amen. And I hope that you're enjoying the goodness of God. So much to thank Him for. Amen. And amen. Well, I thank God for the privilege of being in the house of God last night and for His blessings. I thank God for His blessings on me and my wife and our family. We're so grateful for that. And God's given us a good home and a good church and good friends and, I'm telling you, a good life. And I thank God for it. But we've got better than that. We've got eternal life. One of these days, on top of all this, we're going to have heaven, praise God. Going to be able to rejoice in the Lord forevermore. Oh, my, 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 what a blessed day that will be. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I'd like for you to pray with us, and then we're going to go to a couple of songs and the message from the Word of God. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your blessings. Lord, we are so inadequate. We have words so inadequate to give You the praise that You deserve. But You're so good, and we thank You so much for being so good. I pray, Father, You'd bless now this time. I pray You'd use it for Your glory and honor. Father, I pray You'd accomplish Your will. I do pray, God, You'd receive the praise due Thy holy name. Father, I pray You'd touch those that are sick and afflicted. I pray You'd help those in the hospital that love to be at home, spending Thanksgiving at home. Those in the nursing homes, Lord, be with them. Those that are at home with their family, bless them, dear God, I pray. Lord, use this broadcast, use this message to accomplish Your will. Let good seed fall in good soil, that it might bring forth a good harvest to the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll thank You and praise You. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. Well, I certainly do appreciate you praying with us and praying for us as well. Before we go to the message today, I do want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. Hope you're having a great day in the Lord. I've got two songs that ought to sum up some of our blessedness. I'm talking about we're blessed because of the Lord Jesus. I've got Joshua Shepherd singing first a song entitled, He's All I Need. If you've got Him, you've got all you need. Amen. And then I've got Ben and Whitney singing one together entitled, Did I Mention That I Love Him? Hope these two songs be a blessing to you. And then the message from the Word of God. Turn, if you will, to Psalm chapter number 85. Psalm chapter number 85, verse number 1, the Bible says, Lord, Thou hast been favorable unto Thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of Thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all Thy wrath. Thou hast turned Thyself from the fierceness of Thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause Thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt Thou be angry with us forever? Wilt Thou draw out Thine anger to all generations? Wilt Thou not revive us again, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee? Boy, we say amen right there. Amen. God's done it in the past. That's what He said here. You've been favorable to your land. He's not talking about the dirt, the ground. He's not talking about the property. He's talking about the people, the nation. God has been favorable. We talk about America is our land. This is our land. It's not talking about the ground again, the property. Again, we're talking about this is our country. This is our nation. God's been mighty good to us. And He has revived us in the past. Turned again the captivity. That's the phrase He uses. We ought to pray as He does. Lord, wilt Thou not revive us again, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee. Amen. Verse 7, show us Thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us Thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before Him, and He shall set us in the way of His steps. I want to preach on verse number 10, often quoted verse, I guess. We hear it different times, but I've never heard a message on it. I want to preach on
verse 10, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. I want to try to preach on, oh, what a glorious meeting. Amen. Oh, what a glorious meeting. Mercy and truth are met together. But I think about the attributes of God. That's what we're going to see in this meeting. He mentions four of the attributes of God, and they all have to be in agreement for God's work to be done. Amen. For God to look over and say, you know, that's good. When God saw it all, He said that it was good. For that to be so, all the attributes of God got to be in agreement with each other. All the Godheads got to be in agreement with each other. So when God made man, God agreed on it. It was good. But when sin came in, man was unmade, if I could say it that way. You say, preacher, I don't understand that. Well, you ever make up a bed, and then you get in it or lay on it, and it's unmade? Amen. Well, that's what happened to man. Sin came in and it unmade man. So in order for man to be remade, he's got to have a rebirth. Say amen right there. That's right. And God got to working in His plan, and not that He had to come up with plan B or that He had to tack on an amendment to His plan. Oh no, this was all in the foreknowledge of God and in the plan of God. I can't comprehend that either. But God knew what He was doing, but man had to be remade. And in order for man to be remade, somehow those attributes that were at contest with each other had to be brought into a council and an agreement with one another. And you think about that meeting that came together, you'll say, oh, what a meeting. Amen. What a glorious meeting. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Amen. I want to point out four things in my message and give them to you that I hope will help you. First of all, I want you to notice the members of this meeting. There's four members. You might underline them. Mercy, truth, righteousness, and peace. These are the key members. This is not all the attributes of God, but these are the key, the representative members of God. Now, let me begin this study by making the point, noting the fact that God is not divided. Although we look at different attributes of God, we notice their distinct characteristics. We're not in any way inferring that our God is somehow divided or schizophrenic. God's not that way. Amen. Rather, our God is wonderfully intricate, amen, is so far above us, and all those great attributes or characteristics of God all agree completely, and they are totally good and totally holy, amen. These are four that are mentioned of the multiple attributes of God, but I believe these four represent much of the core holiness and character of God, amen. When you think of God and His holiness, truly, you think of truth. He is truth. Not just true, but truth. He's the plumb line. You don't use the plumb line to see if the plumb line's right. You know the plumb line's right. Use the plumb line to see if anything else is right. You don't question, is God right? You know God's right. You just use God's word to prove to us whether anything else is right or not. Amen. He's truth. Well, you also think of God, you think of His mercy. God is good, and His mercy endureth forever. Amen. You think of God, you think of righteousness, pure holiness. And you think of peace in the character of God. Since our God is one infinite, eternal, and unchangeably perfect being, these attributes must be in agreement. They must agree together. I want you to notice the second point in my text. Mercy and truth are met together. I'm thinking about what a meeting. Not only see the members, mercy and truth and righteousness and peace, but I want you to notice the manner that they come. It's not mercy, truth, righteousness, and peace. It's not one comma, the other comma. No, they come in couples. Mercy comes arm in arm with truth. Righteousness comes arm in arm with peace. Amen. They come as couples. They are coupled together. It's as if a loving couple that walks hand in hand with one another. Amen. They're in full agreement as to what's about to be done. They're in full agreement as to what has been done. And they come to this council chamber. They come to work in concert, one with the other. Amen. They're working for the highest honor and the highest glory, not only of themselves, but of their companion as well. Amen. I thought about how this works in a marriage. We see that. At least we're supposed to see that. You know how I get the most glory? By helping her and seeing that she gets honor. When she's honored, that honors me. You know how she gets honor? She honors me. When she sees me getting honor, it honors her. That's right, isn't it? If I put her down, that ain't helping me none. You may think it is in the time of your anger. You may feel like it is, but it's not helping you any if you're putting the spouse down. But if you're lifting the spouse up and you're working with the spouse, what honors your spouse honors you. That's how the attributes of God is. Mercy's not against truth. Truth's not against mercy. But mercy wants to see truth honored. And truth wants to see mercy honored. Why? Because they're all the attributes of God, and God deserves all the honor and the glory. Amen. And so I see them coming together. There's the members, then there's the manner in which they come together. I want to say these holy attributes of God are not divided. They are married one to the other. Amen. Now notice the melody of the meeting. The members, the manner, the melody. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. They ain't got their fists balled up at each other. They're in love with one another. They have met. This is the amazing thing to me. These seeming opposite characteristics are found to be in full harmony in this meeting. Having met together, they kiss each other. Having met together, they embrace each other. Now, when you look at these attributes or characteristics individually, you notice their diversity. They're different. You think, first of all, of mercy and peace. These two, they're not linked together. You notice that mercy's with truth. And righteousness is with peace. But mercy and peace are the more emotional, the more sympathetic. If you're thinking of a couple, you're thinking of the man right there, right? Emotional and sympathetic. Is that right? No, that's not right. Not in most cases. Mercy and truth tend to be the more emotional. Mercy and truth tend to be the more sympathetic characteristics of God's grace. But truth and righteousness are the exacting and the stringent, maybe even the severe. This is the way it's got to be, because this is right. That's what justice, or I'd say truth and righteousness show. They deal with justice. Well, I think about this fact that you see them, and it looks like there's two different teams, but they're not teamed up together. It's not that righteousness and truth have teamed up against mercy and peace. No, it's that mercy's teamed up with truth, and righteousness is teamed up with peace. They have come together in a melodious manner, thank God, and God's justice is coming to be. How can this be? There must be some go-between. There must be some daysman that can stand between God and man. There must be some daysman that can take the attributes of God that seem to be divided, that can pull them together in one. Somebody that can tear down the middle wall of partition that separates us. Amen. Somebody that can pull of these two, one, make one new man. Amen. I know who that somebody is, and you do too, don't you? Amen. This meeting, I'm talking about the melodiousness. And I say, what a meeting. Amen. Or these attributes come together. These two opposite sides seem to come together. At this meeting, it's found that God's mercy and His peace have found full agreement with God's truth and His righteousness. We can see that mercy has met, that seems to say, in agreement with truth. That righteousness has embraced and even kissed peace. They are not at odds. Rather, they delight in one another's honor. Amen. And that is true because none of the holy attributes of God can be at odds. None can be dishonored for the others to be honored or to be glorified. And listen to me, for God to save sinners, He cannot dishonor Himself. God is holy, and He cannot dishonor Himself. So He's got to honor every attribute that He has. Amen. And that's where this meeting comes together, and I believe it comes together in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me give you the last point. This is the one I'll deal with and dwell on a little bit longer. I won't be real long, but this is the miracle of the meeting. The miracle. We saw the members, the manner, and the melody. Let me say the miracle of the meeting here. It is remarkable to me that these characteristics can be in agreement when we recognize their opposite claims, when we recognize their juxtaposed, it seems like, different angles that they come at things and wonder, how can this be? I want you to think with me just a minute. Put your thinking cap on and think about mercy and peace. We can see they would meet together. They would agree together. We can see that they would agree in grace to save us. But truth and righteousness, they would meet together and agree to destroy us. Amen. Mercy and peace might be willing to deliver us. But truth and righteousness are out to damn us because they see our sin and our wickedness. If these attributes had been kept in separation from each other and had remained at variance together, man would have forever been separated from God. Some of God's darling attributes would never have been glorified. I want you to think about that. God's so good, all of His attributes deserve to be glorified. But if God had consigned all men to hell, His justice, His truth, His righteousness would have shined forth, but His mercy wouldn't have. His grace wouldn't have. Amen. Somehow, in all that, even though God's truth would have been honored, yet His total character would not have been honored as it should have been. Our sin, listen to me now, don't you think about this. Our sin and our rebellion hurt the heart of God because it brought dishonor. Listen to me. It brought dishonor to the truth of God because we broke the truth of God. It brought dishonor to the righteousness of God because we sinned. It brought dishonor to the mercy of God because He wanted to save us. But how could He when we had sinned? It brought dishonor to the peace of God, the grace of God. It brought dishonor to all the attributes of God when mankind sinned. That's why God's angry with the wicked every day. God's not winking at sin. He's not winking at what people are doing. He's going to judge it. I know He wants to save. I'm talking about the mercy and the grace of God. We'll revel in that. But I'm talking about that to the saved. To those that are unsaved, there is no mercy if they don't come through the Lord Jesus. Amen. There's not some other way that, well, God will be merciful in the end and He'll overlook. No, He won't. No, He won't.
Friend, we're going to have to break in the sermon right there, but let me ask you a question. Have you been saved, or are you guilty of trampling underfoot the mercy of God, the blood of Jesus Christ, the grace of God extended to you? Are you guilty of slapping the hand that's trying to reach out to help you? Would you not turn to Jesus now? Would you not call upon Him and beg His forgiveness? Would you not plead with Him to save you and give you the offer of eternal life to your never dying soul? I pray you will. Well, I hope you have a great Thanksgiving, and I pray God bless you. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. And until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying God bless you.